game day on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne in for Sammy McKee, Daniele Franceschi, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours of our program. It comes with a heavy heart, though, to start the show as the hockey world mourns the passing of a Sportsnet colleague, broadcaster, friend, husband, dad, grandparent, Greg Millen, gone far too early at the age of 67. Greg was someone that I was fortunate enough to start at the very beginning here at Sportsnet.
Yeah, was he a day oneer like yourself?
Day oneer.
Yeah.
Scott Moore was in charge of putting together a hockey department. And I was one of five faces in that department. Jim Houston, of course, was the lead play-by-play guy, veteran of broadcasting. And, of course, the second veteran was Greg Millen at that point. Mm-hmm. Had been retired for quite a few years and came over from the Hockey Night in Canada side, where he spent a ton of time with John Shannon and Joel Darling, and really was the veteran on our desk. Of course, Jim Houston and Craig Simpson started off as well. Craig had a little bit of broadcasting experience. He'd done maybe a year or two in the States, maybe, if I'm not mistaken, with Fox. But it was Greg Millen for myself and another unknown rookie from out west in Darren Drager. And you couldn't have found two greener guys in the hockey world. But we had Greg Millen to lean on, and we did those first few years.
Yeah, it's interesting for him being that role in such a big spot, and everything I hear about him these days is just how much people liked working with him. You know, quick to laugh, family guy. Sounds like he loved the game a lot, and you know, I didn't have the treat to know him personally, but man. You guys have all raved about him.
Well, I'm not sure you guys were even born when we started, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Disco, especially you.
Yeah,
Mike.
I mean.
I certainly was.
Maybe for me, I don't know. But I will say, in my own personal experience, Greg Millen, Joe Bowen, soundtrack of my childhood.
Yeah.
Growing up and watching and listening to those guys call Leaf games, that was, you know, it's part of why. Frankly, I'm sitting here, too, with you guys, is the love and passion for that and seeing individuals like Greg and Joe and others do it. But, you know, he's firmly entrenched in my memory. And in my formative years, listening to him call games on Hockey Night in Canada and covering the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's pretty special. And I also remember specifically, you know, like the in-between the benches. That was a bit of a novel concept a little bit. You know, Ray Ferraro does a terrific job with that. But he was always really good in that role as well. And Greg Millen you'll always have a special place in my heart because it was at a point in my life where I was becoming a sports fan, growing into being a hockey fan, and he was a part of that.
That's awesome.
We didn't hit it off that great too at the start.
You and Millen?
Yeah. It was me because I was young and raw and he had been well-established at Hockey Night in Canada, and there was a bar. There was a level.
Yeah.
And
he wanted you to be good,
nobody,
and you weren't.
and no, you're not wrong at all. You're not far off.
Okay.
But I wasn't getting good in, like, any time fast. And he knew that.
Minutes, eh?
He knew that.
Yeah.
But back in those days, like, there was Hockey Night in Canada, and then there was no one else.
Yeah.
So I think at times he was frustrated with a startup company like us.
Yeah.
And especially working with a guy like me after he's been with the very best.
Yeah.
So there were times when he was a little hard on me.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it at the time because I'm an idiot, young and foolish, and still thinking you're kind of cool.
And would you say you were more confident then or now?
Stupidly confident back then.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand. And he taught me, he really did, that to do well in this business, you've got to start over again. Mm-hmm. You just cannot come in off the ice and think that people are going to respect you because you just played in the NHL or that you were part of a Stanley Cup or you could storytell. Like, you have to reinvent yourself, and that comes with a work ethic, and that comes with taking your craft seriously. Yeah. And yeah, at times I was an idiot again because I try to crack a joke here and there, and sometimes it just didn't work, like a lead balloon.
It's funny now, and that's such a part of it.
And
right?
he knew it. He knew it right from the start, what would work for me, what wouldn't work for me. And, you know, and years later, I could see it. Every year passing, I could see. Oh,
and
now,
did your relationship with him change?
Now it only grew stronger.
Yeah.
The more I appreciated maybe a kick in the butt every once in a while from him, which you don't understand. It's like a parent, a child, right? They don't get it when you're young and an idiot, but you get it when you get older. And I spoke to Greg maybe about a month ago, and I mean, sometimes we shared stories of starting out together, and sometimes we just laugh at the fact that we've been in this business for 25, 30 years, and we're still getting paid. And it's like Millsy would be the first guy going, "Kipper, I'm still fooling them."
Yeah.
Right? And that's
all it is.
That's the way Millsy was, but he was in a happy place, and it's really
I'm sorry,
yeah, we send condolences to the Millen family, his wife, his children. Gone too soon. All right, as Millsy would say, the game must go on, and it is tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs facing the Florida Panthers for the second time in a week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do we know for sure what kind of lineup we're going to see, JB?
We have a pretty clear idea. This is a team that has been missing significant pieces with Tkachuk, Barkov, Bennett, Reinhardt, Greer, Sturm, Kulikov, Forsling, and Ekblad. Wow, that's a great hockey team that they've been missing. Tonight, though, they are going to get back their captain, Barkov, their best D-man in Forsling, Sam Reinhardt, will make his return. So that's big news for them.
What, do they miss a game?
Reinhardt might have missed a game.
What is
Reinhardt
a game
was
do?
One game.
Yeah, yeah. What does one game do, right?
I
would rest that guy, too, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, like I don't know why I waded into Twitter. I'm like fully done with Twitter. You can't say anything. You literally can't be like, blue is blue. And people be like, not always. Oh, my God.
Oh, you lowered Suzuki to top 40?
Yeah.
What did you do?
No, I just, you know, I pushed back on the stupid idea that the Panthers are losing to get the Leafs. The pushback being, you don't know that the Leafs are going to win the division. You don't know a place to finish to get them. You know, Tampa Bay, if you think they're better, is probably going to win the division. Like, they're 2 points back with a softer schedule anyway. And then, you know, you got a bunch of people saying they're trying to lose. And tonight, Reinhardt, Forsling, Barkov, they're trying to get guys back. They're trying to find their own game. They're worried about themselves because, frankly, they believe they can beat anyone. So they rest guys till they're ready. And these guys are apparently ready, Kip. So I trust him on that. If he needed more games, they'd give him more games.
As far as the other guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, we heard from Paul Maurice today.
We did.
Disco.
We did, indeed. Yes.
And he talked about Sam Bennett.
He did talk a little bit about Sam Bennett. Just briefly, the rationale, by the way, Sam Bennett, they are shutting him down between now and the end of the regular season. And the expectation is game one, playoffs, he'll be ready to go. Paul Maurice, a little bit of insight into what went into that decision.
It was over the course of the road trips, and we can manage it. But he can't play the game at his best. So he could play, but it doesn't make any. We got to get him to right to as close to 100%. We think we might be able to do that, but we got to do that off ice.
He could play.
It's really their only chance to be taken seriously in repeating is to get, I believe, Sam Bennett back. And
can't do it without him.
And even Ekblad. And I'm not a huge Aaron Ekblad fan, but that guy can munch minutes, and he can play specialty teams, and he was a key part to a Stanley Cup last season. Those two guys for me, and I mean, we know Tkachuk's out there too, is almost like a cherry on top, but those three guys, like, it's imperative that they're healthy.
People get it twisted sometimes when guys get too much money or they're drafted higher. And Ekblad's a great example of a guy who people are like, he's not a number one pick. So they treat him like he's whatever. He's a valuable player. Every team in the league would benefit from having him. They miss him quite a bit right now, considering some of the guys they have in. So, yeah, that's a big loss.
All right, let's kick in a Kipper's Clipper on Craig Berube discussing going up once again against the Florida Panthers.
Well, you got to have patience playing this team because they check extremely well. They're in your face, you know, extremely well, and there's not a lot of room. So we're going to have to be patient. Simple puck plays are important tonight, putting pucks in behind them, getting pucks out of your zone. Those little things are crucial. And we did a real good job of it for all the game, I thought. And we got a couple good opportunities in third period and capitalized on them. So, you know, there's a lot of good things we did well playing them, but those are key for me.
Yeah, those are key things. You know, Florida's an interesting spot. I think it's been seven games, I think, you had in the lineup since they've scored three goals. Mm-hmm. They haven't won in five, right? They're 0-4-1 in their last five games. But no one seems worried about them. You know, the panic is not there from anyone. You know, there are ways to get at them. Is the Reinhardt clip worth playing?
Honestly, the one that's interesting to me here in terms of on that subject, yeah, on that theme, it's actually Brad Marchand.
Okay.
Brad Marchand, we can play clip one because I think that gives us a good indication, an idea of why nobody's really worried about this team.
I think the biggest thing is just make sure we're playing the right way going to playoffs. We've lost some games lately, but if you look at the way we're losing, we're playing strong hockey. I mean, we're giving a couple opportunities a game and running some hot goalies, but that's going to happen. If we continue to play the way we are and forecheck the way we are and close the way this team has all year. I mean, we're going to be a tough team to play, and we know we're putting a good game together. A lot of guys are in the lineup, and guys that are coming in are playing well, so just have to keep building.
Yeah, what I've been able to gather the last week and a bit out of Florida is that they're not playing poorly. Mm-hmm. The record doesn't indicate the way that they've played, and Brad's right. They've run into some hot goaltending.
The Leafs had this exact stretch. What did they lose in a row? Was it four or five?
I think it was four.
A month ago.
We went through this.
They ran into some good goalies, and they played pretty decent. They just didn't get the wins, and it happens over certain stretches. But also, that's kind of why you get Marchand, isn't it? You have a guy who's like, he's been there. He's won a lot. Things are going poorly, and he's not like, oh, God, we really need this one tonight.
Yeah, and I still think that there's a level that he needs to get to still. Mm-hmm. And at times it hasn't come quickly for him in Boston this season and even in Florida. So I don't know. Is it just the start of a small kind of scale downwards, or are we going to still see a very good prime kind of Marchand? Do you think he's got a lot of hockey left in him?
Does this mean you're worried about the contract the Leafs are going to give him?
I would question any team in terms of being careful with term and money. Yeah. He's a great penalty killer still. We know that. And maybe we'll go down as one of the best modern-day penalty killers in history. I think he's just a phenomenal guy that can do a lot of good things on the specialty teams. But as far as maybe losing a step or two, I don't know. Is it just having an off year, or is this just at his age, it just starts?
I think he's slowing down.
I
think he's slowing down a bit. And then it's combined with you're not on as good a team, right? Like if he was this version of himself and still playing with Bergeron and Pastrnak, you're in the offensive zone a lot more. It's easier to look better, but I think he's had to do more this year on top of being a step slower. So a couple Leafs thoughts for tonight. Their lineup staying the same. Absolutely no changes. So Jake McCabe not back in. Still no David Kampf. Robertson going to stay on the fourth line. Joseph Woll getting the start tonight. No Anthony Stolarz. Thoughts?
I gave you mine yesterday.
You
right?
Like it. You like it.
It was. I had no doubt in my mind that I think if you wanted to leave a lasting thought on the Florida trip, and you're coming off a Florida win already, the one you probably want to focus on is Tampa Bay with what you perceive as your number one goalie, and right now that's Stolarz.
Yeah, you liked Tampa last night, eh?
Oh, yeah. They're scary power play.
Yeah.
I think 3 against the Rangers last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Best team in the East, Tampa Bay Lightning?
No, that I think right now they seem to be the...
Kucherov, Point, Gensel, Hagel, Cirelli, Gonsalves, Bjorkstrand, Gord, Paul.
Nasty.
And then, you know, Hedman, McDonough, Chernak, Vasilevsky. There's a lot to like. Yeah,
just not to dwell on our opening conversation here, but it's hard to pick your poison right now.
Yeah.
Even if you thought that Florida's very confident against the Leafs. It's like all 3 of these teams, and now we'll throw Ottawa in. So they all have elements of being very dangerous.
Yeah.
All of them.
They do. The one thing I will say that everyone doing the Ottawa freakout thing, they don't score like these other teams. Like, they're bottom. What are they in the league in scoring? I can figure that out fairly quick. But they're like 20th, 21st, 22nd in goals for. They just don't have the guys who
complete
score.
Finishers.
They don't have complete finishers. Yes. And then the Leafs D, since adding Carlo, has really been good at taking away high-danger chances. I just think Ottawa would have a tough time scoring. They're still very good. That's not saying they couldn't beat the Leafs, but I think it's just such a different ask than it is to, say, play Florida or
Tampa. They're about middle of the pack, Borny. Yeah, they're right. They're literally right in the middle, pretty much. Right,
and that's in goals for per game?
Yeah, goals for, they're exactly like right in the thick of things, in the murky middle of the NHL.
In the expected goals for category, they are significantly below the murky middle, looking at the Sport Logic chart. So, never mind. They're pretty close to dead middle anyway.
I want to get your thoughts on, are we now in that area of personal agendas, because I'm starting to hear topics of conversation on Willie for 50 and Mitch Marner for 100 here. So I don't think it's anywhere near what we had to go through last season with Austin Matthews and 70, but is there a chance that's creeping in right now?
I mean, Willie's not even close, right? He's got
he needs a goal
games.
A game.
Six goals in six games.
He averages a goal every 2 games. He has 6 games left. You know, he's on pace for 46, 7, 8. I don't think that's that interesting. And Mitch has been well below a point per game for how many years now? 7? I don't know. He has 6 games left.
He needs a point per game.
Yeah, he needs a point
per game. He's 6 points away from 100.
He could end up with 3 tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't tell me one of these games he's not. They're playing Buffalo, Detroit. Some point he's going to have a 3-point game, and then you chip in a couple assists.
So
I don't think it's that. Now, if he has a couple games where, you know, it doesn't go well, we can sit here and go, you got to get it. He has to get it this year, by the way. Mm-hmm. Not like he needs to do it. They need to make sure it happens for him. Like, just put him out there at the empty net, get him on, you know.
Oh, you think so?
Just make it happen.
I feel like there's more incentive. There's definitely more incentive for Mitch to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I mean, Sammy sits here and jokes about it too. He's a 100-point guy, but not really.
Yeah.
Right? And everybody, all the, I don't want to call them.
Sam's the only one that goes, not really.
Kipper, I've heard plenty of people do it. I've heard plenty of non-Mitch believers, right? The folks that want to rain on the parade when it comes to Mitch Marner frequently joke about, oh, Hunter, he talks about, we could say he's a 100-point guy, but no, he's not. 99, not 100. I think it's silly.
I'm a rounded out guy. Rounded up.
Yeah. I'm with you. Think about, you're talking about a guy who misses a game here and there.
Austin's a 70-goal guy. He's a 100-point guy.
Yeah.
Last year, he was a 70-point guy, or a 70-goal guy.
70-goal guy. You know, like, it's... I wouldn't grind on that at all. I think it's there. I do. I hear it, too.
We hear it.
All right, let's get the head coach's thoughts on Marner. Clip 3.
It's like a guy scoring 50 goals, and you know, it means a lot to the player, individual, and you know, and to our team and to the organization. You know, he's just got to make sure he stays in the moment with things and plays the right way, and the points will come. He's a very good player. He has the ability to do a lot of good things. So he's just got to stay focused and just keep playing his game and focus on playing the team game.
I don't think he has anything to worry. If there's one guy that does not cheat, it's him. Often the third guy high, often the first guy back. I mean, this guy's got a conscience defensively that he's just not built to go for it and hang the rest of his game out to dry.
No. No, while you're gone, he had a really good game against Florida. Well, he had a good third period, like in big moments. And I did some bits on like how it could look for Mitch in the playoffs for him to be successful, and how just because of the way he plays, he doesn't play that power, overwhelming game. We've come in and said before in certain games where you've said that game's just not built for Mitch. Certain game here or there, that sort of style of game is not built for him. But there's a way within those games we're seeing, and we saw it in the Four Nations, we saw it against Florida in this one game, where it's like he can make those game-breaking plays and seams by just staying on the front foot a bit more, being in the action a bit more. He can make those plays. It feels like he's finding something within himself here that can keep happening for him, and I think that's an encouraging sign for
just get him the puck, too. Sometimes if he seems lost, it's because he's not getting the puck.
He's got to skate. Like in the playoffs, I don't feel like he's up in the play the same way. But he's got a
space.
Yeah.
Space, right? Like there's less space, and that's where he's struggled a little bit historically.
I think when they get the puck on the power play to him, it changes completely. If he's off the side and he's not that involved, or they've had him in the bumper on occasion, and it's like, that's not his game. He needs to handle the puck. He needs to see three or four different options, and he can make that pass without telegraphing anything.
He can, for sure. He's the best at it. You know, the one thing that I think has been good lately is with all the movement with Willie and Austin and Mitch at the top, it you don't really know who it's going to be or where a guy is going to be. And I think that's been really effective for them. All three of them taking it to them, and their power play has been so good now since January. They've really found something. You know, can they be like Tampa Bay in the postseason with those guys? I think it's there for them more this year than in past years. So here's to hoping anyway.
All right. I want to get Craig Berube's thoughts on one of my favorite players in the league, Barkov.
He's one of the best 200-foot players in the National Hockey League. So, he's difficult. It's hard. He's a hard opponent to go against, you know, who's ever out there against him. And, you know, he makes their power play better. He makes their penalty kill better. And he makes their 5-on-5 game better.
It's very seldom he's in the wrong place, this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's a horse. He's a horse.
Yeah.
Was it Huberto had 115 points on his line or something like that? It's pretty good. You know, and we know without him, he's like a 70-point guy.
Yeah, he is. I think he really, yes, Tkachuk for sure, and even Bobrovsky last season, but this guy is the Florida Panthers. He is the face. He is he is the man.
He is for sure. Before we get to Jeff Chychrun.
Yes.
Do you want to, we have Marchand talking about Brandon Carlo and Paul Maurice talking about Anthony Stolarz, who I know he's not playing tonight, but he's seen him before.
Yeah, love his thoughts.
Okay.
Let's hear his thoughts on Stolarz.
Awesome. Clip 3, Maurice, please. Sorry, that's Paul Maurice, clip 3. And if not, that's okay.
I thought that coming out of January, his entire game changed. And I'll be clear about this. I don't know anything about goaltending, like nothing. So I can only tell you what it looked like from the bench and from kind of the middle of the ice in practice. I just thought he got to a structure in his game. We played against the New York Islanders at home on back-to-back, I think. I think it was on back-to-back in January, and he stopped 41. We should have got beat by 10 that night. And that, to me, was kind of when he took off. So that was... And then Robbie Tallis, who I think is just a brilliant with these guys. We have players like Alex Lyon kind of come in and, you know, carry our team for a while. And Stoley was really important for us in that push last year. He said that right from training camp when the year started. This guy's a player. This guy's a goalie. He's just had some injuries, and he's been on some teams that it's tough to kind of get that confidence to get to that role, to get feeling good. But Robbie Tallis never wavered from his belief in Stoley. I know that Sergei loved him as a partner because he told me that directly. And we loved him here in the room. And he's one of those guys that when he got the opportunity, he got a payday a little bit. Like, he had earned it. Everybody was happy. We loved to kept him, but it's in that Ryan Lomberg mix. Love the guy. He's great for us. Good for you and your family. I hope it works out great for you.
That's how you wax poetic.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's some coaches out there that wouldn't give it 10 seconds.
No. Here's 93
like, yeah,
seconds.
Good kid. Happy for him.
Yeah.
And there was another answer, too, Borny. I didn't even. He answered another question after about him.
Next question.
Yeah. No, he was all in. So it does seem like this is just, okay, Stolarz is our guy. We're going to play him against Tampa.
Yeah. I don't even think there's enough time to for him to
change it.
Change it or stink or plant a seed of doubt. I don't.
That's a scary phrase. You might have just jinxed it.
No, well, don't worry. Do you think there's any?
Don't be that guy, right?
Shout out. You guys place any stock in the, I don't know, it's like the implicit confidence that comes with the guy that's there and the communication element? Because every time you, especially the last couple of weeks for whatever reason, the common theme with any of the guys on the Leafs talking about Stolarz specifically, you can hear him at any end of the rink. Wherever you are, you can hear him. He's vocal, he's emotional, and he connects with them in a different way where he's not the goalie. It's like he's kind of one of the guys. He's part of the team. He's not that weirdo goalie type, you know what I mean? I wonder if some of that is just even provides extra confidence and faith for the skill players up front, for the defensemen on the blue line, that they're like, oh, we really trust this guy. His eyes and ears matter to us back there.
I think it depends. So, yes, typically I think that's a great thing that he's that confident and comfortable and he's a part of it. That's awesome. But then you have some really weird goalies, and I like that too. I like the guy who's comfortable with who he is, and he doesn't need to be one of the guys because he's into the universe. I mean, Joseph Woll's like a big Lego and piano guy, but that's cool too. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're confident in whatever your real personality is.
I've played with super quiet guys, like Don Beaupre in Washington.
He was pretty damn good.
He had a great career.
Yeah.
Glenn Healy and Mike Richter were chatty guys, but they're not loud guys. It's not like you could hear them 100 feet away from you. But
Heels wasn't?
No, he wasn't like a yeller. He was when he had something to say, he would say it, but most goalies see the game differently, right? So but they're not scared to share information on a whistle or something for you. But not loud, not like where it kind of ripples through you.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the case is with Stolarz, like, it's working.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing, that there hasn't been any cracks. There hasn't been any, even on their 3 or 4 game losing streaks throughout the year, it's never really seemed like they've been off the page. Mm-hmm. They seem to always be on the same page. So, he's found his place. He's found his comfort zone for the first time in his career as a go-to guy, and it's taken him, what, 12 years?
Yeah, think how much money's at stake for him from now over the next, whatever, 8, 9, 10 months. Like, if he holds down this number one job and they win a couple playoff rounds, he's the number one guy and it goes well, and then he starts next season decent, you know, it's like, all right, we better extend this guy, you know, where he's
still a long way, and I think the history, his health history,
definitely
will not allow him to sign a 6-year deal at $40 million.
Right.
I cannot see it. But to your point, if he can string together a great run here and come back next season at Christmas, and it looks like his health issues are somewhat behind him, and he can convince a medical staff that nothing's blowing up in the near future, maybe you can talk them into a lengthier contract.
I mean, it's 8 months from now till Christmas. It's like, you know, that's a big chunk of his career that his next deal could be worth 2x2, yep. Or it could be worth, you know, 4x7. I don't know.
Anyway. All right, we'll take a quick break here. And when we return, we'll bring in a former roommate of mine.
Is that right?
Really?
Jeff Chychrun, covering the Florida Panthers. Or should I call him Jacob's father?
Right.
More on tonight's game, Toronto versus Florida, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDO cast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Toronto Maple Leafs play a front end of a back-to-back in the state of Florida, starting with the Panthers tonight, which welcomes in Jeff Chychrun, former NHL defenseman, current analyst, covering the Florida Panthers, my former roommate. Plenty to get into tonight, but my first question to you, Jeff, is what are you doing working, man? Your kid just signed for 72 million bananas. Why aren't you on a private plane right now peeling some of them?
Crazy how they talk about, what do they call them, PJs, hey, Nicky? Yeah. Private jets. It's a whole different world.
I didn't know that. I wouldn't know that.
What do you used to say? If I had your money, I'd burn mine.
Hey, no. Thank you very much. Congratulations on that. And what's the dad fee on that? What's the percentage? Agents get, what, 3 to 5%? What's in it for dads?
Apparently it's not going up. You know, I guess hopefully less gray hair from the stress of being sort of in this environment, kind of waiting to see if it'll ever happen. But we're honestly, Nancy, we're just so thrilled for him. It's been a really fun 9 years, going through some ups and downs, depending on how the hockey clubs were doing, and just trying to enjoy the process. But we're just really happy. He's obviously put a lot of work in and recently got married. So for my wife and I perspective, I mean, we're just happy parents at this point, hoping he can just enjoy the next while. And the great part now is it's all about winning in Washington, hopefully.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when he signed the contract, you know, all the think pieces come out and everything, and I all of a sudden was exposed to how much of a fitness, I don't want to say freak, a fitness committed athlete your son is. Does that come from you, or were you a hardworking, committed type player?
Well, I just always tried to be under 12% body fat when Pat Croce was getting us at camp there, right, Nick? And yeah, try to run that 2 miles in 12 minutes or whatever it was. No, it definitely not for me. I think I always put the work in to try to be in shape for camp, but yeah, he certainly takes it a little bit further than I did, that's for sure. And, you know, he's had to overcome a few things, so probably a good thing for him.
What about Kip? Was Kip more like Jacob or more like
you? I always thought Nick was in great shape.
Oh,
really.
Yeah. I won awards. Hey, Nick. I got the bench press. I was right behind Timmy Kerr.
He still is. Look at him.
yeah, that was easy.
Oh, and they pay us off, eh, when we came in shape.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, there's
they
cash.
They bribed you to be in shape, eh?
They pay cash for coming in at the top.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
let's focus a little bit on the Atlantic Division and what's going on, particularly with the Florida Panthers. You know, there's some up here that may suggest that they're tanking on purpose to maybe meet the Leafs in a lower seed, but the sense is that they are legitimately banged up. But what kind of lineup do you expect tonight, and how serious are some of the injuries?
Yeah, well, I think Barkov's back. I haven't been to camp that much. I was there last week. I didn't see Tkachuk skating. Kulikov, I guess, is close. Ekblad obviously won't be playing until early in the first round. Sturm, I'm not sure there. But I guess Sam Bennett's going to be out now for the next week to 10 days. They're going to hold him back. So some serious pieces. I did the game in Ottawa the other day. And, geez, you know, they put 40 shots on, 22 against. Sort of looking at that game, halfway through the second period, Ottawa hadn't had a shot. Similar to the third period, really sort of put on a dominant performance. A couple of mishaps in the first caused the goals, and that sort of set them back to zip. You're not scoring 5-on-5. I think that's the biggest concern right now. You listen to Paul Maurice talk, though. He says he likes the process. He likes sort of the game, the important things to him. They're playing these tight games, a lot of one-goal games, and and they're playing well. Maybe they're gripping the stick tight. I just think there's a lot of guys out of lineup, Nicky, and a lot of forced manipulation of lines, and it's just taking a little while to come back. I know they played a hell of a lot of hockey in the past 3 years.
Yeah, yeah, it's understandable, right? It does catch up to you. How is Brad Marchand fitting in so far as a Florida Panther?
Yeah, I think he's fitting in well. Obviously, it's interesting listening to, it was Maurice a couple of weeks ago, sort of talking about their talks about acquiring Marchand. And the first thing him and Zito sort of talked about, they needed a penalty killer. And they sort of looked at him and Bergeron as really elite penalty killers. And then you get all the great, obviously, characteristics and guy in the room, hungry veteran, the offense that he brings. But I think it's been a little bit of a struggle because really the club's struggling. I think for Hagee scored in 13 games or something. So there's a lot going on in that locker room right now. And but I think structurally, he plays really well. They had some good looks on the power play with him out there in Ottawa the other day. And I think it's just sort of trying to fine-tune it and obviously hoping it comes together in the next six games before they start the real dance.
And is there a stronger optimism with Matthew Tkachuk coming back? I do hear that he is feeling better. To what extent, I'm not sure what that means, but I think there's some people that really believe that he could be ready by game one.
Yeah, I think that the skate picked up somewhat today from what I heard. So that could be promising. Obviously, we don't really know what's going on, or what the injury is. But we're just sort of waiting to see how that comes through, too, Nicky. So I guess we'll get news at the same time in the next week to 10 days.
How about the goaltending? How's that shaping up this year? Obviously, right. he can run hot and cold, but he's been very good for a long time now.
Yeah, he's been really. I think we spoke maybe last January, and I think that's sort of when it really kind of kicked into high gear. I think they went into Toronto and things went a little bit off the rails there too. But from that point on, he's really been solid. You know, obviously his work ethic's second to none in practice, just so methodical. But I think he plays pretty relaxed. Little guy kind of makes himself bigger. I think you can sort of see anytime he's out, the communication between him and the defenseman, they're just picking up Vanacek. He seems to be a pretty solid goaltender. I think they probably did miss that tandem with Anthony Stolarz. I thought he was so good last year when they needed him to be. But I think Bob's been his usual consistent self all year. He can't put the puck in the net, and I think that's really sort of the problem. A lot of one close games have been lost recently.
We'll get a good feel out of the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight against Florida, but from 60,000 feet, is Tampa the team that might be bringing it together at the right time the most out of this division?
Yeah, they look good, don't they? When Kucherov gets hot too, that's kind of a frightening proposition. Point looks good. Hedman looks like he's healthy and moving well. I think McDonough was a good pickup. And obviously when Vasilevskiy looks like he's the old Vasilevskiy, right? Stopping everything and then some. So, yeah, I mean, obviously with that Stanley Cup final coming through Florida, is it 5 years in a row? Vasilevskiy was a huge part of it. I think that you can't count them out. They look healthy. They look fresh. And obviously bringing guys back like Yanni Gourde, and those are sort of key pickups probably for the feeling in that locker room.
Jeff, after spending some years watching Ottawa and then you just saw them a couple nights ago, are you surprised to see how they've got themselves into the playoff fight?
Yeah, not really. I actually didn't think they were that good against the Florida Panthers. I think Florida really dominated the possession side of that game. But Joe Vanoskin, we were talking about sort of the high-end talent. Jake Sanderson on the first power play goal. It was a pretty exceptional play by him, obviously moving his feet. Thought Timmy Stützle was very evident, his skill sets. But I think that's been coming for a few years. I think we've all sort of been wondering when it might take that next step. I was talking to Dave Poulin the other day, and he said, you know, with Travis coming in, they've really just focused on the defensive side of the puck, hasn't even got into teaching the offensive side. I think they're really happy with sort of David Perron's play the past little bit, and that's certainly going to help. But no, I'm not surprised. I think the goaltending's been really solid, and probably due to the large fact that the defense has been quite good this year.
Well, we got to round out the Atlantic with maybe the Montreal Canadiens, who have already announced that Demidov is coming over from the KHL out of his contract with his respective club in Russia here. Are we poised for somewhat of an upset here in the East?
In the first round?
Yeah, in the first round. Like, is it between Ottawa and Montreal, you think, knocking off one of the big boys?
I suppose it's possible. You have to remember I'm a parent now, Nikki, so yeah. I really would want one of those teams to get knocked off. Really hoping for a long run. But no, I mean, yeah, it looks like Montreal's starting to put a little distance between the pack. It looked for a while that nobody really wanted to get that second wild card. So I suppose it's possible. I don't know. I still think winning is learned behavior, and it takes a little while to sort of – you may get in the dance. You may not quite be ready to totally compete. So I think that's still to be determined, Nikki, but it's possible.
Looking at Florida's spot in all this, do you think it matters to them who they draw, or is it just that they're so confident, used to kind of handling whoever, it doesn't really matter?
Right, sort of that we don't change our game sort of mentality. I think that's the mantra that they try to throw out there. But I think matchups. I think matchups are keys, and some teams just match up differently than others. I think there's probably one or two teams they'd prefer not to play too early. But they're certainly. I mean. They won 7 of their 8 playoff series going into this year. So they certainly seem to adapt well. I think with them, the key is really going to be health come that first round, in my opinion.
Two common themes tonight with the Toronto Maple Leafs in Florida is their respective free agents going so far without a contract, with Mitch Marner in Toronto, Sam Bennett in Florida. Your kid could have gone that way, but Washington stepped up and made sure he didn't go anywhere. There's probably different dynamics involved in the negotiations for Marner and Bennett, but how do you see the Florida one shaking out between Bennett and the Panthers? Because this is a guy that's in many ways might be irreplaceable.
Yeah, he is really the guy that drags this team into the fight, right? He's that nail-biting centerman that really is able to play with a skill level, but also a controlled aggression on the ice. And I think he is intimidating to play against. So it is interesting. I think there's a history in Florida. If you look at Reinhart, you look at Verhaeghe, you look at Ekman-Larsson, Montour, all those guys played it right out last year. So there is a bit of a history with that. I'm sure they would love to have it locked in. And I think there's still a little bit of debate. I mean, obviously the salary cap and the projections the next 3 years, it's all sort of gone public, obviously, but I think there's still some maybe some fine tuning in the mind of the general manager to see exactly where they are and what their pay schedule is going to be moving forward. So I think I'm sure everybody would love to have all their guys locked up. I don't know what the deal is in Toronto with Mitch, but it's sort of new frontier, I suppose. I almost think that the salary cap's been artificially held back for the past several years, and now it's sort of accelerating. So we'll see where it all pans out, but sort of new territory for everybody involved, in my opinion.
Great seeing you.
Thank you, Justin. Great to see you guys too.
And enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up again soon.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Jeff Chychrun.
Every time we call him, it's like 80 degrees behind him with palm trees and it snows here.
Yeah, I know.
Today's actually the most disgusted I've been at the weather in Ontario since I've lived here.
How long have you lived here?
13 years.
Are you serious today? April, it always snows in April.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's gone.
It snows one little flurry and then it's gone, except it snowed today. It's supposed to be minus 13 for 3 straight days.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
No, I didn't look either. Is that real?
The feels like it's minus 13 until Thursday.
I don't like that.
You are not to book anyone south of Georgia. Okay?
Fair enough.
Unless you get someone in Georgia. If you get Rory on, we'll take him.
Yes.
Big week.
Big week.
Big week.
This is my favorite week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. Mm-hmm.
And they scheduled us to work Toronto and Carolina on Sunday.
But don't forget, there's a big TV in the middle and then a rainbow of TVs around it that we can have them on different holes. Amen, corner.
I'm telling our producer, Matt Martin, to get me a clip of an approach shot.
we should do a pack at one of the intermissions.
If you're watching us and golf highlight comes up, don't be surprised.
Yeah. You're Scottie Scheffler on 15.
And just sit there quiet while he addresses the ball. Hush tones.
Sammy, no more golf.
Great drop.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of quiet, eh? Between Bennett and Florida and Marner and Toronto, I think everybody
these
knows it's
different
just
different animals. These are not the same players.
It's nice that it's parked. Okay, different in what way?
Well,
the situations are exactly the same.
Yeah, but Mitch is a guy that I think people would consider a top, whatever, 10, 15, whatever you put him at in the league.
Well,
Bennett's
We may be talking about a difference on an AAV of maybe $4 million. If one gets 9, the other one could get 13 or 14. Right. But I think both are viewed in the same way. How do we replace that player if he leaves?
I just have so much less confidence that Bennett can be this Bennett later in Bennett's career. And, you know, we did this with Ovi yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't believe that Ovi could hold up.
There's a physical element to this that suggests that you are correct at some point, because it's easier to last longer playing like Mitch Marner than it is Sam Bennett.
Kane scored 20 goals this year. How long has he been in the league? 20 years?
Yeah.
Scored 20 this year.
Didn't he like have that, what was it, the hip surgery?
Yeah, they remade his hip. And he scored 20 goals this year. You know, like, that, I don't think that works when you're so much of who you are is intimidation, force, fear.
Yeah. He's going to alter it. He'll pick his spots better as you get older.
And then he can score and play and be effective, and he's smart, and he's always going to be a good player.
But there will be someone that knows that they're overpaying or giving him one or two more years than they'd like to, but they'd still rather have him for the next 5 or 6.
Yeah. Yep. And that's paying Vladdy for years 12, 13, and 14 or whatever, right?
Free agency, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's part of the deal.
Like, you okay with 14 for Vladdy? But that could sour and a lot quicker.
My favorite thing I read about it, Jeff Blair and Barker, has an article on sportsnet.ca where he basically says, don't worry about that right now. Be happy that this guy chose to be here, be a part of the Blue Jays, a superstar,
It's not our problem at the end of the day. It's not our problem.
And it won't be this management's team's problem either.
100%.
You know, so it's like, it's a good thing that when good players are in a place, other good players want to be there. People aren't trying to get to Edmonton because they love Edmonton. Mm-hmm. You know, McDavid's there, so that's why Perry wants to go there and Kane wants to go there.
And the Florida fans think the same way about Bennett as you're telling Toronto fans to feel about Vladdy, right? Don't worry about it. Five or 6 or 7 years. Don't worry about it.
No, I don't know if it's the same.
What's different?
Bennett's not that superstar class. He's not that same caliber guy.
The only thing I would say I think is different, you know, even with Marner and Vladdy in this, Florida's won. They've done it. So going to the brink of free agency, or even the guy walks out the door, tests the market, I don't know if you're a fan of that team, how it's going to feel so much worse, right? Like, it's not, you won. You've accomplished it. You've seen what it looks like. You have faith in your coach, in your staff, in your front office. And if you do go to the extent of saying, we probably overpaid a little bit, or we gave him too much term, that's okay. We'll live with it. We won.
Mm-hmm.
In these instances with Marner, and we'll see what happens this year, but with Marner and Vladdy, they haven't won, right? The Blue Jays haven't won a playoff game.
And Sam...
That's why.
Right?
And Sam Bennett has, and he's...
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I know what you're saying. From a skill point of view, from a optic point of view, this guy skates amazing. He scores 100 points, but, hey, Sam knows... Sam's been more valuable to Florida than Mitch has been to Toronto.
He's a winner.
And the other one hasn't won yet.
And you get to carry that tag. And he has earned the right to cash in a chip. He's a valuable player. If you gave him 9.5, I'd be like, I got it. You got to pay him, you know? But.
Oh, everybody's getting rich except the three of us.
Buddy, don't check the stock market. Don't.
You made that mistake today, eh, Bernie, again?
Man.
All right.
I mean, I don't have much money to lose, but. Is she gone?
All right, Mr. Valiquette, coming
up
next.
He's got money to lose.
He's up next on his Tuesday edition of our program. Don't go away.